All right, welcome again. I hope that things are going well for you. I hope you're having fun learning. Whether you're young or in the middle or older, learning is one of the gifts that God has given us. God is developing us into things that we have no clue sometimes what God has in mind. Generally, God has way more in mind for us than we could ever imagine or dream of. And so learning, you have no idea what God is going to do with the learning that you're doing right now. And even if you don't know what you're going to do with this course, or you don't know what direction your ministry is going to take you, getting prepared. You prepare, and then God can use you for things that are coming up in the future that you can't even predict. The disciples spent 3 years with Jesus. They probably had no idea that they were going to start the largest, most far-reaching organization the world has ever seen, the church. But all the while they were learning and growing, Jesus was preparing them for a later purpose. So even if you don't see it now, it doesn't matter. You work hard at what's in front of you. And what's in front of you right now is this course. So keep at it. Keep at, with the readings and doing the quizzes, and you know, keep pushing forward. Okay, we're spending a little time looking at the first part of the coaching process, the decision. So let's continue on. Three things coaches do to accomplish this. Is a little review again. Help the client figure out what they want to do, make the decision. Once they have a decision, you help the client figure out how to do what they want to do, and that's a plan. You have a decision, then you make a plan to carry out the decision, and then finally you help the client do what they plan to do, and that's management, ongoing management of the unfolding plan. All right, so we are in help the client figure out what they want to do. That's generally the hardest thing. It's hard because there's so many things you could do. And there's so many things that people want you to do. And there's so many things that you're already committed to do. And you only have so much time. There's so many things you want to do, so many things you could do, so many things you should do, but there's only so much time. And it seems like we have more things that we want to do and should do and could do than we actually have time for. And so it's hard to stop and reflect and think about it. So as a coach, you know, I'm trying to help the client do that. Stop and think about areas of your life. And so I'm trying to give you models with which you can help someone do that. So there's three basic model categories that we're going to be looking at, and that is brainstorm. That's the model that we're sort of in right now, or model category. And then number two, there's prioritizing, the things that you figure out in the brainstorming time. And then finally, the different ways that you can make a commitment to actually do and pick out the thing that you really want to do. So the first step, the brainstorm areas of action in your life, last time we looked at the seven connections as a model, as a way to help a client think about their life. So we're going to, in this session, look at, you know, just basic random areas of a person's life. These are just general areas of a person's life, and hopefully your client can relate to some of these. Again, the helpful thought shapers of this model, same as the seven connections. One way to start thinking about the areas of your life is by problem. Where are the problems? We're looking at a specific area of life and then ask the question, where are the problems in this area of life? Where's the pain or frustration in this area of life? To identify it, to talk about it, to think about it, and then try to figure out what we can do about it. So problem is one way to go. It's kind of the more negative side. It's not bad to do that. It's a good thing if there's a problem. If you have a thorn in your toe, you want to take it out. It's causing pain. You want to do something about it. So problems are a good way to think about life. But there's an opposite kind of way of thinking about life, and that's improvement. Okay? The problem is looking at the source of pain. Improvement is going, well, what can we do to make things better? And you know, certain people respond to one more than the other. So you're presenting these two options to the client. You let him pick. You don't decide for him. He decides, or she decides, what they want to think about. Improvement, a desire to go to the next level in a certain area of life. Maybe it's not even a problem at all. It's just a plateau. I'm stuck. And, you know, this area is becoming frustrating for me because I'm expecting more improvement than I'm seeing. And why is that, and what can I do about it? Okay. So areas of your life model. Number one, a problem or improvement related to hobbies. Okay, hobbies are generally those things you like doing that don't necessarily make any money. Okay, I don't know how else to describe a hobby. A hobby is something you like doing because no one is forcing you to do it. And generally, you're not making a living. Generally, sometimes what people do is they turn their hobby into a job. You know, they try to make money at their hobby, and then they lose the whole enjoyment of a hobby. Part of the enjoyment of a hobby is you don't have to do this. You don't have to make a living at this. You're doing it. Why? Because you simply like it. So some of my hobbies, I like a game called pickleball. If you don't know what it is, you have to Google it. It's pickleball. It's all one word, just like the pickle that you eat and ball. If you Google that, it's sort of in between tennis and racquetball or any kind of sport where you use a racket. For this sport, you actually use a paddle. Anyway, I got into it about 3 years ago. I'm the currently the president of the Grand Rapids Pickleball Club. That's the city that I'm from. We have 800 members. It's a huge organization. There's a big tournament next week, and you know, I'm singing the national anthem at this tournament. And, you know, I'm playing in the different aspects of it. You get rated as a player. There's all this stuff that goes with it. And a lot of hobbies are like that. My wife is a quilter. It goes to the Quilt Guild, and they have monthly meetings, and they have speakers that come in, and then they have a quilt show, and they put their quilts in the show, and you can get a blue ribbon or a red ribbon, and you can be judged. You can sell your quilt. And so there's a whole system generally behind quilts, all right, and behind hobbies. And you can just dabble in the hobby, or you can get really into it. I think God has, you know, blesses us with this interest in things just because we're interested in things. I oil paint a little bit, and you know, I like that as a hobby. I like pretty much any sport that's out there. I play hockey with my kids. There's writing hobbies. Some people like gardening. They you know, growing vegetables or flowers. Some people like flower arranging. You know, I'm from a Dutch background, and in the Netherlands, Dutch people, Dutch men especially, get into flower arranging. People get into drawing. People get into all kinds of things. I mean, there's you go to a hobby store, you'll see all kinds of different things that people. My grandfather got into the little train sets, Lionel train sets, and he built villages and mountains, and he had the trains going through. You know, so that's what he got into. So, and I think God blesses us with interest in things just because we're interested in the thing. It releases a creative side in us. God is a creator. You know, He created the world, all the infinite variety, the solar system, the light years of stars, all these things. God is just interested in all this variety and incredible display of fascination. And He's created us in that in that same image. So we are interested. It does something for us. It makes us feel a part of things. It makes us feel creative. It makes us feel like God must feel when He created the world. And so it fulfills a need in us. So, you know, you get your client to think about those areas. You know, a lot of people, they have so much work to do that they never unleash their creativity in a hobby. And so there's a side of them that is dying. And then they're pouring all their energy into the things that they have to do, and they don't do any of the things that they want to do. And they're slowly shutting down. You know, God created the world in 6 days, and on the seventh day He rested. So that might be a problem for your client. The problem is he's just not resting. He's not taking one day to reflect on life and just do something that he enjoys, read a book or take a walk in the nature. My wife is a birder. She likes going out and finding birds and taking pictures of them and so on. That gives her energy. And because she does that, she has energy to do some of the other things that she has to do. So we stop with the client and we say, well, let's think about this for a minute. Is there a problem in terms of your hobbies? Or is there some improvement, something you'd like to change, something you've always wanted to do? So I'll see all of a sudden now they're thinking about that. That might be their real problem in their life. Or a problem or improvement related to work. Okay, for a lot of people, there's a lot of problems at work. And there's people problems at work. A lot of people are doing something that they don't really enjoy doing, but they do it because they, you know, it's the job I have. I have bills to pay. I've got a mortgage to pay. I got a house payment. I got food to buy, clothes to buy, all these things. And this is what I'm doing. But work is slowly killing me. You know, I think that's true for a lot of people. And they don't know how to get out of it. I mean, where would I, if I wanted to change this situation, what would I do? So it's identifying the problem. What's the problem? I think I'm in the wrong job. It's not matching with my gifts. Or it's the wrong people. Or the product that we produce is not something I believe in. There's an incongruity between what the company does and the things that I think are right and meaningful. And so I'm spending so much of my time doing something that I don't really believe in. So you help them think about their work. Where are the problems? Where's the pain? Where's the suffering when it comes to work? Or is there some improvement? You know, I like my work, but I don't like my position. I see some other things or opportunities in my workplace that I think would be better suited for me. So you get them talking about there's some problem with work or their improvements. And, you know, so what are we going to do about that? Or number three, a problem or improvement related to school. So maybe, you know, right now you're not working, you're taking these classes. Or maybe you're a young person and you're in school and it's just not fitting you. So is there a problem with school? Maybe you're taking the wrong course of study. Maybe you were thinking one direction, but you should go and do another. When I went to college originally, I was thinking I wanted to be a medical doctor. And so I took biology and chemistry and those things. And after the first semester, it was like, I don't even like biology and chemistry. I wanted to go into the medical field because ultimately I wanted to be a psychiatrist. I liked working with people and, you know, what they do and why they do what they do. I was fascinated with the mind. Okay, I was not fascinated with all the biology. So it was like, what am I doing? This is the problem. And a lot of people, you know, they study medicine and they don't become doctors. They enter some medical field. And I thought, what if that happened to me? I'd be in some lab doing something. I don't want to work in a lab. So it's like that was a problem. And if someone had put that on my plate and said, okay, let's think about school for a minute. Is there a problem? Yeah, there is. You know, I'm not really pursuing what I really want to pursue. But it has to come to my attention. Or is there an improvement? Should I take this course instead of that course? You know, what should I, you know, is there a problem or an improvement related to school? Number four, a problem or an improvement related to sports. Again, I think sports is part of the creative world that God created. It's sort of interesting that work is often solving problems. We're trying to make a better product, or we're trying to sell something to someone who may or may not want this thing, and so it's a problem. We're solving problems all the time at our work. And then when we're tired of solving problems at work, we come home and we take up a sport, which is another problem. You know, how do I hit this ball past you? How do I, score by kicking this ball into a net? We make up these made-up problems. And I think God has wired human beings to have a sense of accomplishment when they tackle a problem and solve it. So, but maybe your problem solving, you're in a sport that is not giving you a sense of satisfaction. So is there a problem in the sport world that you're in? You're on a team, but you're sitting on the bench. You don't get to play, or you don't, in the end, enjoy some competitive, people are taking it so seriously that they've taken the fun right out of it. And that's sucking the life out of you. So is there a problem, or is there an improvement? You know, you're stuck at a certain level, and how do you get to the next level? And so the thing is becoming more of a frustration than something that gives you energy. Number five, a problem or improvement related to your home. You know, what aspect of your home is a problem? Maybe it's the clutter. You have more, I think that's true for a lot of people. We live in a materialistic world. Because of the industrial age, everything has become incredibly cheap. And so we keep buying stuff. We have stuff all over and we don't know where to put it. There's buying stuff, and then there's how to organize the stuff. And many of us are not good at the organizing stuff. I mean, where do you put all these things? I'm one of those. I don't dare put things away because I feel like I'll never find them again because I won't remember where I put them. So I put everything on the desk. Everything is out in the open because that's the only way I'm going to be able to find anything. Where is that thing I'm looking for? I don't know. It's somewhere in the open. If it's all put away, I don't even know where to begin to look. So we don't know, but all that clutter, every time you walk into a room that's cluttered, the weight of all that stuff is upon you. And every time you want to do something, you have to go find it. And so you have this frustration. Every time you're looking for the hammer, you have no idea where the hammer is. So is that the problem in your home? Or is it the fact that your family, everyone has a different schedule and everyone comes and go and you never do anything together? What's the problem in your home? How would you identify that problem? Maybe there's things falling apart and they need to be fixed. What is weighing you down in terms of your home? Or where could things improve? And if they improved, you'd feel better about your life and your family. Or number six, a problem or improvement related to projects. Again, projects are like sports and hobbies. It's not maybe the main work that you do to make a living, but I think God has wired us this way to get into things. I have my oldest son he's a project guy. He lives in Ecuador now, and he married a girl from Ecuador. He lives there. He does software development. That's what he does for a living. But he loves his projects. He found some black sand on the beach, and he took the black sand and he put it in a volcano thing, and started a fire, and he melted all that sand down into iron. And then he got a hammer and he started pounding that iron and folding that iron and making it into Damascus steel. And then he designed something that he wants to make out of that Damascus steel. He made it, on his computer. And then he has a lathe, and he's making all the pieces and the parts out of that Damascus steel to build this thing. He built a Geiger counter once to measure radiation. And he built it just because it was fun to build. I mean, I don't know what radiation he wants to measure. I years ago decided I wanted to make a guitar. I played the guitar and I researched, the wood and what wood to use and what wood does and how to make the sound and I had to, how to bend the wood and fold the wood and how to stain the wood, all these things. It was, once I got into it, it was like, man, you know, things can get as complicated as you want to get it to be. But that was all fun. It's like a project. It's like you're attempting to do something that's outside of your, you know, maybe what you were trained in. Maybe for some of you, that's what the Christian Leaders Institute is. You have a job, you have a family, you're doing all these things, but you've always been interested in ministry. You've always been interested in God things. And so you're just having fun taking this class and taking that class. You have no idea what you're going to even do with these things. It's a project. But is there some project? So getting again the client, think about the projects in your life. Is there a frustration going on in the project, you know, your project world? Or is there some area that you'd like to get into, that you've always wanted to get into, some area of improvement related to projects? Number 7, a problem or improvement related to books, the books that you read. Okay, books are an incredible thing. I know people aren't reading as much today, watching videos and so on instead, but books can take you anywhere. Books can teach you anything. And so, you know, what kinds of things are books leading you to? What area of improvement in your life has some of these books done for you? Number 8, a problem or improvement related to people. Okay, I know this is a big, broad, general thing, but it just helps someone start thinking about, okay, people at work, people at home, people that I know, people in the community. Is there a frustration? Yeah, that guy I work with in the next cubicle is always, you know, saying these things and it bothers me, or whatever it might be, my wife or my kids or the neighbor down the road. He has a dog that barks all night. And whatever it is, a brother or a sister, someone that you're dealing with, some issue. So you're just helping someone in a broad way to look at all these different areas of their life and asking the question, do you see any problems or do you see any areas of improvement that you like to pursue? So you end up talking about these things. Let them explain, you know, let them go wherever the conversation goes. And then finally, out of that, you start looking at, okay, is there any action-oriented goal related to your hobbies? Anything that you'd like to do, anything that you could think of that you'd like to do? Some goal. You want to change hobbies. You want to try this hobby. You want to go to a camp and learn how to do that. You just want to spend a weekend and learn how to do pottery. Whatever it might be. Number 2, or an action-oriented goal related to work. As you think about work, you think about problems, you think about areas that you want to improve. Okay. So what could you do? What goal could you make that might change some of these things, might help with this problem, or might lead towards some improvement? An action-oriented goal related to school, you know, related to the courses that you're taking at CLI. What could you do? Number 4, action-oriented goal related to sports. You know, you could get lessons. You could try a different sport. You know, I love every couple of years to try something I've never tried before. Okay, but you know, so sometimes I get frustrated and bored with the thing I keep doing, and I just need someone to bring that to my attention. Well, hey, let's think about sports for a minute. And as I talk about it, I realize, hold it. You know, I'm kind of bored with what I'm doing. Maybe I should pursue something different. 5, action-oriented goal related to the home. Okay, what's going on in the home? Is there anything that I could do? Number 6, action-oriented goal related to projects. Okay, a new project, change the project, actually get back to the project that's half finished. You know, a lot of us have projects all over the place, half finished, and we walk into the garage and we see all these things half finished, and then we just get worn out. Maybe we just get, you know, some projects we're never going to do. And what we should do is just clear them out of there. Why should we be reminded of our failure over and over and over and over again? Number 7, action-oriented goal related to books. Number 8, action-oriented goal related to your world. Whatever's going on in your world. You know, so a question can be as broad as possible. You know, okay, you know, you can go through all these different areas of life, or you can just add the most broad general question to your client that you could possibly think of. Okay, in the whole wide world, is there any problem that you're experiencing? Like, you pick. I could tell you all the different areas of life, or I can just give you a blank slate and say, okay, there's all of life. What problems are you experiencing? And then he, in his mind, has to figure out. He has to think, well, and where does his mind go? Right up the top of his head, where would he go? Where, you know, and maybe the first thing he would say is what he's really struggling with. Or maybe not. Yeah, but it's just a way to get the thing going. Get a person thinking about the problems or areas that they'd like to see improved, and then you can move towards action-oriented goals. All right, so we'll continue this in the next session. Thank you.